Seriously ill, and I've been battling what is a serious medical condition for the last number of months. I'm at the early stages of treatment, totally and absolutely and utterly determined to overcome this condition, and I'm well supported by our wonderful doctors and nurses within our health service. So I think, obviously, the crisis that has occurred at Stormont has changed everything for me, particularly because I have a decision to make in relation to fighting the election. And I have to be honest with myself, this has taken a toll on me in the course of recent times, and the reality is that I'm not physically able to put the energy and the effort that is needed into this election, so I will not be standing in the election. I intend to overcome this illness. It'll take some time, but I'm determined that on the other side of this, that I will continue with my work for peace, continue with my work for unity, and continue with ensuring that we recognise how vitally important the next stage of our peace process is. That is one of reconciliation. And I'm not just talking about reconciliation between communities in the north who have been divided for so long, but reconciliation all over the island of Ireland.
Leading figures.
The town I love so well. A song about a fellow who was born in a town, he went to school, and what happened to him after that. It goes like this.
Train the dogs and when times got rough, there was just about enough, but we saw it through without complaining. For deep inside was a burning pride in the town I loved so well. There was music there in the derriere, like a language that we all could understand. I remember the day I earned my first pay, when I played in a small pickup band. There I sent about life, and I found the why in the tone I loved so well. to see how a town could be brought to its knees by the armored cars and the bombed out bars and the gas that hangs on to every their tanks and their guns. Oh my God, what have they done to the town I loved so well? Now the music on, but they carry on, for their spirit's been bruised, never broken. They will not forget, and their hearts are set on tomorrow and peace once again. For what's done is done, and what's won is won, and what's lost is lost and gone forever. They can only pray for a bright town I love so well.
Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. That's Luke Kelly there singing all about the town I loved so well. And the town there is Derry. And it's been in the news a lot over the last few days. At the start of the programme, you'll have heard the voice there of Martin McGuinness, Deputy First Minister in the last Northern Ireland Executive and Deputy Leader of Sinn Féin. And he was talking about why he basically decided to step away from the Northern Ireland Executive in January because of ill health. Well, he passed away in the early hours of this morning, Irish time, and tributes have been paid to him all day. And his funeral will take place on Thursday, but also taking place on Thursday, the funeral of another great son of Derry, Ryan McBride, a 27-year-old footballer, captain of the Derry football, Derry City soccer team that played in the League of Ireland competition. And he was found dead on Sunday afternoon by his brother in his home, and no reason yet for the cause of death. So in the space of 2 days, Derry has lost two good sons. Martin McGuinness was only 66 and he had a rare heart condition. And of course, everybody knows he admitted that he was part of the IRA. He was a senior commander within the IRA and possibly the leader of the IRA for many years up to the mid 70s. And he would have been involved in a lot of the bombings and killings. But then he turned politician, and he's obviously been a driving force behind the peace process. He's met the Queen, he's sat down and formed an agreement with the former leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, and a man that would have hated nationalists and Catholics, the Reverend Ian Paisley. And his son, Reverend Dean June Jr., has come out today and paid a great tribute to Martin McGuinness. It's a sombre day for some people. I see Norm Tebbit, the right-hand man to Mrs. Thatcher, he's basically come out today and says he hopes that McGuinness rots in hell, because his wife was paralysed in 1984 when the IRA bombed the Brighton Hotel. Five people were killed, and they went very close to killing the British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, at the time. So the end of his tribute says he claimed to be a Roman Catholic. I hope his beliefs turn out to be true and that he'll be parked in a particular hot and unpleasant corner of hell for the rest of eternity. But saying that, on the same page, we've got Alan McBride, whose wife Sharon was one of 10 people killed by an IRA bomb in her father's fish shop on the Shankill in 1993. And he's, forgiven Martin McGuinness and the IRA for what they did to his wife and his family. And he feels that without the effort that Martin McGuinness made, there wouldn't be a peace process and there wouldn't be the peace that exists in Northern Ireland today. So his funeral is due to take place on Thursday in Derry, and there'll be thousands turning out. And indeed, the President has said he'll be attending Taoiseach Enda Kenny as well, and no doubt all the other political leaders from north and south of the border and former leaders will be there to pay their respects to a man that certainly is seen as one of the architects of the peace process in Northern Ireland. And that's why we paid that song there to him, the town I loved so well, in his memory. All right, we're off now, and we'll see what we've got here. I think we've got... this is... let me see. Yes, a nice little bit of instrumental music there called Teddy O'Neill. And welcome along. If you're tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And you're listening to us tonight on Wednesday night on Planet FM in Auckland, our delayed broadcast in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday night. Hope everybody had a great St. Patrick's Day. The weather was beautiful and what a great day at the Auckland Irish Society. Well done to everybody there from the mass in the morning till the singing and dancing throughout the afternoon and the festivities that went on there. And it was great to meet so many people that tune into the programme each week and enjoy it. So and I have a few songs that I'll play for people that said I haven't played them for a while. Up next, we got the Fields of Athenry. And great weather. Just a pity that the weather the previous week in Auckland anyways wasn't good for the Hugh Green Group Parade at the Gaelic Football Championships. But the weather since that particular weekend has been beautiful. And the Taoiseach Andy Kenny, had a great time in America. He, despite the bad weather, his visit to the White House, and he got on well with Trump, and he kind of gave him a bit of a dressing down, telling him that St. Patrick was the patron saint of immigrants all over the world. And he did say that, special case has to be made, not alone for the undocumented Irish in America, but also the other illegal immigrants who are helping to make America great again. So Taoiseach Andy Kenny also extended an invitation to President Trump to come to Ireland, and he's been criticised because he probably won't be Taoiseach when Trump during the term of his presidency, and there's one of his potential successors has gone on record to say that he wouldn't invite Trump or he wouldn't make him welcome. So it'll be a bit embarrassing for Leo Varadkar if he's elected leader of Fine Gael and Prime Minister. But who knows what happens in politics. Andy Kenny has said that he will discuss in detail his plans to step down. And according to stories in today's paper, it looks like that May will be the time that he'll step down. He wants to go to a European summit at the end of April. There's a lot of talks going on with the European Union as a result of the Brexit, which will be triggered by Theresa May later this week. And, he also has a little bit of unfinished business. He wants to see the executive up and running again in Northern Ireland, and he wants to make sure that, the negotiations starting about over Brexit are in Ireland's favour. But overall, all the politicians that travelled around the world were well received, and it was great to see so many buildings and monuments around the world turning 40 shades of green on St. Patrick's night. So I hope wherever you were, you had a good weekend. Now, if you're in Auckland and you're hungry and you want a good burger, why not drop into the St. Kevin's Arcade? It's just off Kay Road. And the Burger Bar Auckland is there. You've got a Mayo woman and a Dublin man with the Burger Bar there. And it's beautiful food. And they've got a special St. Patrick's burger that's got potatoes, it's got onions, it's got great meat, a bit of Guinness and everything else. So if you're passing by, beautiful area where you can sit down and enjoy a beer and have a burger, drop in there to see the guys and tell them you heard about it here on Ireland Calling. All right, we'll take a song, and this is Brendan Shine and the Fields of Athenry.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they are taking you away. For you stole Trevelyan's call, that the youth might see them all. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Long lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine
down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Laura, the fields are back and ride, where once we watched the small free birds fly. And songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Brendan Shine there and his version of The Fields of Athenry, and I'll have the Four Roads coming up before the end of the show here tonight as well. And the show you're listening to is Ireland Calling. And last week I brought you the news that a Coast Guard helicopter had crashed near Blacksod Bay in County Mayo. It was helping with a rescue. The rescue went well, rescuing a fisherman that wasn't as badly injured as at first thought. But when the rescue was taking place, the second helicopter that came down from Dublin was there to back up in case anything went wrong. And they were coming in to refuel at Blacksod Bay. But indications are that the helicopter or part of it may have hit in Black Rock. That's a, you know, just further west than Blacksod Bay, and it's a, you know, just a big rock mount with a lighthouse on it. So three bodies are still missing. The captain of the helicopter, pilot Captain Dara Fitzpatrick, she died, or her body was recovered and died shortly afterwards. Her funeral took place on Saturday. But the three members of her crew, Captain Mark Duffy, winchman Paul Ormsby and Kieran Smith, are still not accounted for. And the Taoiseach travelled down to the area where the rescue was taking place on Monday, and he said, we hope to get answers as to what happened soon, and you know, bring the bodies back of the three men that are missing, and hopefully the weather will improve so that they can divers can go down. They reckon that they've found the black box, and that's probably still intact with the rest of the body of the helicopter. But for such a skilled crew, you know, one story in the Irish Times today says that the coordinates might have been set up for Black Rock instead of Black Sod. And, you know, they might have thought they were coming in to land on a flat piece of ground, but they were about 15 kilometres further west. So, huge tragedy for the families of these people that go out in all types of weather to rescue people that get into trouble. And Inda Kenny has praised the people. There's hundreds of people down there working around the clock at the moment to try to recover the remaining three bodies. On the sports front, it's a great weekend for Ireland. They managed to beat England and stop England setting a new world record of 19 games undefeated, and also stop them winning a Grand Slam. And a number of Irish players got injured before the game, but the replacements came in and certainly put their hand up. And now the next big announcement is on the 19th of April when Warren Gatland and his selectors name a squad of 37-38 players to travel to New Zealand for the British and Irish Lions tour of New Zealand. So that's going to be exciting, and a number of rugby writers are picking their Lions team at the moment. And at least there could be up to eight or nine English players and about five Irish players, two Welshmen and a lone Scotman, Stuart Hogg, and most people start in 15. But injuries do happen, so hopefully, you know, there'll be a good mixture of Irish players in the mix when the team for the first test is announced in a few months' time. All right, we'll continue on. It was a big weekend in Cheltenham last week, and the Irish beat the English in the steeplechase races. Irish trainers came home with more winners, and Irish owners as well. And this man won the top jockey. Here he's Christy Moore singing all about him. We watched.
There's Bethlehem and Cheltenham and Lourdes and the Murdoch Junction. The trip to Mingingoria, a rub of the extra motion. Good people thank Kilpatrick with serenity on their faces. But Ruby Walsh, she saved me life below the Galway races. Ruby held her back, give her the crack and up she go. The favour, she'll take some baiting, makes her crane, denies her strength. There's fear upon the faces, there's agony and ecstasy below with the Galway races. Hey Ruby, hold her back, before the crack and up she'll go. It's there you'll see gentility, and she dressed up like mutton. There's double-barreled names with more ears than normal logins. The talk is all of tillage, of silage and connacker, I fancy Tracy bigger in the saddle and enclosure. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Sir John McSavage's mind is there with Smurfits and O'Reilly's, the owners and the trainers and the stable boys and jockeys, with silk around their arses, getting up men's horses, but to mention wives and daughters and marriages and divorces. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. There's Celtic helicopters, land bank speculators, builders and developers, crocodiles and alligators, soldiers of destiny, they're in defeat and frenzy. The miser at the Lamb of God and come back from the gravy. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Thursday is the ladies' day and the women all look smashing. They're lashing and the lipstick full of Tracy's all the fashion. You can see the liposuction, the Botox and augmentation, Brazilian haircuts, colonic irrigation. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Everyone's out to Salt Hill for the crank and from the porter. There's bookies laying on us and two flies walking up the wall. There's folk and trad, their disco and karaoke and set dances. While some of us who've spent their days were looking to take our chances. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. When galloping down the back straight, he has her in the can. I look at her lip, the jumps begun, she's like a ballet dancer. Well, over the last she hits the front and nothing has gone to pass her. Winner all right, it's up till there, follow Carlo. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crank and up she'll go. Hey Ruby, hold her
Christie there and singing all about the great jockey Ruby Walsh. And Ruby had a great season over there in Cheltenham last week, coming away with the winning the most rides over there. And a great week it was for Ireland and the Irish trainers and Irish owners. And of course the Cheltenham Festival came to an end on St. Patrick's Day, and Croke Park was very busy on St. Patrick's Day. You had the All-Ireland Club Hurling and Football Finals, and in the Club Hurling Final you had Coola from Dalkey in County Dublin taking on Ballyee of from County Clare. And Coola, first Dublin club to win an All-Ireland Club Championship, they won easily, 2 goals and 19 points to 1 goal and 10. It was a bit tighter in the football final between Dr. Crokes from Kerry and Schlockneil from Derry. And Schlockneil suffered a big blow just before half-time when one of their midfielders was sent off, where he basically just struck out at a player and he got an immediate red card. So that handicapped them, and they lost their second final in 4 years, having lost to Currafin a few years ago. Dr. Crokes won 9, Schlockneil won 7. And that was on St. Patrick's Day, and down the road at Lansdowne Road or at the Viva Stadium. In fact, it might have been held at Donnybrook at the RDS. You had the final of the Leinster College's Senior Cup Final, and that was between Belvedere College and Blackrock, arch rivals there. Belvedere winning that 10 points to 3. Down in Munster, you had PBC Cork taking on Glenstall Abbey. PBC too strong, 11 points to 3. Up north you had Royal Belfast 12, Methodist College 8. And over in Connacht, I don't know who won the game over there. The Ireland ladies were going for a grand slam as well on Friday night, but unfortunately they were well beaten by England, and so were the Irish under 20 rugby team as well. But the senior men, they came out on Saturday and in front of a packed house, the Aviva Stadium. And they basically beat England in a very, very tight game, 13 points to 9. And so the next big, what do you call it, rugby game now is the European Cup matches, which Leinster and Munster are in playoff stages for. They're both in the quarterfinals, and those games are coming up not this weekend, next weekend. And there was a full weekend of football on Sunday as well, and we'll run through some of the fixtures results on that when I come back. But here we are. Somebody else wanted to hear the Four Roads, and Jack Hampton, I think. Jack, here's for you. This is Daniel O'Donnell and the Four Country Roads.
Four country roads winding to a town in County Galway. Four country roads leading to the friends I left behind. Four dusty roads winding to the town of Glenamaddy. Four dusty roads forever in the caverns of my mind. Once in a while I hear the sound of music in the winter nights. I see now and then the trees where we sheltered from the rain. And once in a while I see us walking home in the morning light. And oft are the times I long to see my hometown once again. Four roads from Glenamaddy. Four roads that drift apart. Four roads to Glenamaddy are the only byways to my heart. One country road led me to the schoolhouse by the meadow. And one country road to the churchyard where my mum and daddy lie. One dusty road where I strolled with a loved one in the shadows. And one dusty road that led me on my journey far away. Four roads from Glenamaddy. four dusty byways to my heart. Four roads from Glenabady, four roads that drift apart. Dusty byways to my heart, the four country highways to my heart.
Yes, indeed, a song made famous by Big Tom, and that's Daniel O'Donnell, and Daniel still touring Australia, and then heads on to Sri Lanka and then back home, and all his concerts I see in Ireland are pretty much all sold out. He's more popular than Adele over there in Ireland through the summer months, and you know, certainly enjoyed his time here in New Zealand. Great to see him in person and see him in concert in Auckland. All right, just to recap at the weekend, as I said, there was a full round of football league games, and Dublin are still undefeated. They almost got beaten down in Kerry, and they played down in Austin Stack Park in Tralee, and the game was sold out, about I think 8,000 or 9,000 Dubs on by train, but they came back to level with Kerry, 13 points each. Big shock was Cavan going to Castlebar, where the Mayo were you know, expected to easily beat the Cellar Dwellers in Division 1. But Cavan caused the biggest upset of the weekend, beating Mayo 1-14 to 15 points. And other games, Longford end losing run against 14-man Sligo. Longford 16 points. Sligo 2-7. Antrim beat Laois. Tipperary beat Offaly. Tipperary 2-15, and they get promoted from Division 3, obviously up to Division 4. Hard to believe Armagh, they're in Division 3. They had a victory over Louth. Galway are doing very well. They're in charge of their own destiny now. If they win their final two games, they'll get promotion. They beat Derry in a huge one-sided game, 5-15 to 2-15. And then you had Meath and Cork playing out an 18-point draw. And Fermanagh, they played Clare, and that game, what do you call it, eased their relegation phase with 18 points to 110 win for them there. And the other game, big game up north, was Division 1 between Tyrone and Donegal, and that game played in Ballybuffet. Donegal 12 points, Tyrone 6 points. Finally, Kildare versus Down. So there's certainly the Alliance Hurling League will be on this weekend, but the weather is certainly improving. The days are getting longer. But as I mentioned at the start of the programme, if you tuned in late, the shock news that was announced on Sunday night was the fact that the captain of Derry City, Ryan McBride, was found dead in his home on Sunday afternoon. He'd played in a big win, 4-0 over Drogheda United for the team on Saturday. And he said to his brother that he was having a rest on Sunday afternoon, and he was found dead in his bed later that evening. Huge, huge shock to the sporting community in Ireland. Of course, Ireland are playing Wales in a crucial World Cup qualifying match, and FAI Chief Executive John Delaney has said that there'll be a big tribute played, paid to Ryan McBride. And I see where one of his former colleagues at Derry City, he's going to wear his number 5 jersey if selected to play for Ireland on Friday night. And his funeral takes place in the early hours of about 10 o'clock on Thursday in Derry. And then in the afternoon, Martin McGuinness's funeral will take place, as he died overnight after suffering a short battle with a rare heart condition. And tributes have been paid to him, by politicians and business leaders from Ireland and England, but indeed from other parts of the world as well. All right, we'll take another bit of music here. Thank you. Yes, that's Stockton's Wing there, or it might have been Dodonan with a piece of music called Mulvehels, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. And as I said, the big story in Ireland today dominating all the news is the death of Martin McGuinness after a short illness. He stepped down as Deputy First Minister from the Northern Ireland Executive in January, and that caused an election. And the election took place on the 3rd of March, and it showed big gains for Sinn Féin, but they're still going to have to form a government with the biggest party by one seat in Northern Ireland, the DUP. And Sinn Féin, up to last few days, were calling for Arlene Foster to step aside. This was over the Cash for Ash scheme, heat generation scheme that's going to cost the Northern Ireland taxpayers over £500 million over the next 20 years. But she did pay a good tribute to Martin McGuinness, and she said she's not stepping aside. And of course, the new Sinn Féin leader for Northern Ireland is Michelle O'Neill, and she, along with Gerry Adams and a number of other people, were among the people that carried the body of Martin McGuinness from the Auchtergelvin Hospital. Or that's where he died, and he was probably brought back in a hearse to the outskirts, the Free Derry Corner in Derry, and he lived in the Bogside all his life. He was one of seven children. His mother came from Donegal, and his father was from Derry. And just an interesting feedback to an article in the Irish Times today by a person that obviously is from Derry. It says, anyone who thinks in Northern Ireland were about religion are both stupid and ignorant. Northern Ireland was never about religion. It was about civil rights. If you were a Catholic, you basically didn't have any rights. You could not vote if you weren't a homeowner, and most Catholics didn't own their own house. You could not get a job, even though in many cases you may have been better educated. In one bank here in the north, 95% of their employees were Protestant up until 1995. If you had an Irish surname, you were harassed when you drove your car. The people who turned to the gun were just ordinary people pushed to the edge. If you didn't live here, you could never understand what happened. The British government treated the Catholic people of Northern Ireland like they were vermin. They were second-class citizens in their own country. It was the British government who divided the people of Northern Ireland, not the Protestant community. They created a mistrust between both communities. Divide and rule, that is what the British did everywhere they went. I honestly believe the British government kept the Troubles going here for their own reasons. They had an agenda. It was an actual combat area where better to train their young soldiers than in urban warfare situation. Some of the best British officers trained here ended up in Iraq and Afghanistan. And she finishes by saying, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. But that's just one of the many, many comments that have been paid. And in responses, you can look online now where an article is written and people put in their, comments about what happens here. Here's another one where there's about 14 people listed here, real people, innocent people, seven of them children murdered by the man here. Many proclaimed to be a hero when all he did was lay down weapons to follow along the path better men begot. You may as well commend Jimmy Savile for his charity work and Hitler for building the autobahn. Good riddance. And that's from man called Paul Bergen, so he's obviously from Northern Ireland as well. So there you go, one person saying Martin McGuinness was a good person, another person saying good riddance. But at the end of the day, and lots of commentators are saying this, you know, there's a lot of people out there today that'll be very sad, because, you know, it brings back memories of the death of their loved ones in what was, you know, over 30 years of violence. It started in the late 60s and until the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. And of course, after that, then we had the terrible, I think it was 1999, when we had that terrible Oma bombing when over 30 people were killed. But, you know, people will write their own epitaphs about Martin McGuinness, but if he didn't bring the IRA to drop their arms after the time of the first ceasefire in 1994, who knows, another 3,500 people could have been killed over the last 23 years. So he certainly brought an end to the horrific violence that took place. Well, he was one of many leaders from all the various organisations up there. Anyway, here we go. We go with Jimmer the Leary and the Bards on the Curra of Kildare.
The winter, it is past. and the summer's come at last, and the birds they are singing in the trees, their little hearts are glad, but mine is very sad, for my true love is far away from me, and straight I will repair to the Curragh of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. A livery I'll wear, and I'll comb back my hair, and in velvet so green I will appear, and straight I will to the Curragh of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear.
The Leary and the Bards there singing all about the Curragh of Kildare. And the other news over the last few days, the wife of former Taoiseach Charles Haughey, Maureen Haughey, who was the daughter of former Taoiseach, another former Taoiseach, Sean Lemass, died on Friday. She was 91 and her funeral took place yesterday in Malahide in Dublin. And her daughter, in her tribute, said her mother was a Republican in the true sense. And she was very loyal, a great judge of people. And her late husband's former colleagues within the Fianna Fáil party turned out to pay their respect to Maureen Haughey, who died on St. Patrick's Day, Good Friday. She was aged 91 and she had to put up with a lot because her husband was unfaithful, carried on a long time affair with Terry Keane. And obviously, you know, she had to live through that. But she certainly, and her husband, late husband, enjoyed life after he retired. Of course, he was brought before tribunals over money that he got. But, you know, they certainly seem to have been a good match. What else has been making the news in Ireland? Well, the days are getting longer, and despite bad weather for St. Patrick's Day, most of the parades went off very well. And as I said, Taoiseach Enda Kenny had a good time in New York and some of the other cities that he visited. The weather cleared up. And certainly it was nice to see a lovely fine day here on St. Patrick's Day. The day, the hard to believe that we're nearly at the end of March now. The time certainly does go by very, very quickly. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support of the programme. And thank you for tuning in. I'll leave you tonight. Look around here and see what we'll get into here. And leave you with maybe Donnybrook Fair. We'll see what they've got here. Tunnel Tigers. No, we'll keep talking here. Dublin City Ramblers. Home and Away, Irish Republican songs. I suppose the fact that Mark McGuinness is passed away, we might go out with a Republican song tonight, The Ballad of James Connolly.
A great crowd had gathered outside of Kilmaina, with their heads all uncovered, they knelt on the ground. For inside that blue prison lay a brave Irish soldier, his life for his country about to lay down. He went to his death like a true son of Ireland, and the firing party he bravely did face. When the order rang out, present Ireland's fire, James Connolly fell into a ready-made grave. The black flag was hoisted, the cruel deed was over, and gone was the man who loved Ireland so well. There was many sad hearts in Dublin that morning when they murdered James Connolly, the Irish rebel. Many years have gone by since the Irish rebellion, when the guns of Britannia they loudly did spake, and the bold IRA they stood shoulder to shoulder, as the blood from their bodies flowed down Sackville Street. The forecourts of Dublin the British bombarded, and the spirit for freedom they tried hard to quell.